We are joined by New York Vinny. Good afternoon to you, sir.
How you doing, Kevin? What'd you do with Michael?
Oh, we hide him away from time to time. Every once in a while, he just gets our noses out of joint, and we decide, all right, you've had enough. You're getting a timeout. And we just send him off to the corner to think about what he's done. He's enjoying some much-needed R&R, and we're hoping he's rested well.
Well, I think, yeah, he needs a little, Michael is a great guy. You got to just, plug him in every once in a while and let him unplug him and let him rest.
Exactly. I think we all need that. It isn't necessarily just him, but, I hope he, when he gets back, I'm sure he'll be quite raring to go.
Good.
Let's talk a little bit about cars. You got a lot of car stuff that we could talk about, including a very swanky car show going on right now.
Yeah, we were talking about this last week with Michael. The Concours d'Elegance is going on down at the Pebble Beach, and this is really this is the hoity-toity, the hoi polloi, the high society of automotive shows. You go out to an automotive show in Natchez, and you're looking at, probably some SS396s, some El Caminos, maybe a few people have a couple of Porsches, some nice pickup trucks, things like that. Well, I don't even think they let those in Pebble Beach for this thing. We're looking at cars usually that slot in above $100,000. I think you have to have a $100,000 price tag to get into the Concours d'Elegance. And that and a lot of classic British stuff, Italian stuff. The hot car down there this year is the 1974 Alfa Romeo. They're celebrating what they like to call the malaise era, when cars were really bad. And so they picked out, like in 74, you remember the 1974 cars, they were horrible. They had these big bumpers on them. And Alfa was one of the last manufacturers that were producing true sports cars.
Everything I know from about Alfa Romeos, I learned from the three goofballs, the English goofballs that did the TV show on BBC, and now they're on Amazon. And I don't know much about Alfas because they're not impressed with them.
Well, you know what? So they're love-hate relationship cars. It's kind of like, I don't know, how would you explain an Alfa Romeo love? It's kind of like having a rich partner, a rich girlfriend, a rich boyfriend. They're very expensive, and you got to keep them happy. You have to keep them well-tuned if you want to stay in the game. And if you can't, you have to say goodbye. And it's about an Alfa Romeo, it's about the same thing. It's not like a Fiat where it's an inexpensive car. An Alfa Romeo costs you a bit of bucks. But it's, when they run right and you're driving in one, scooting down the highway at about 75, 80 miles an hour, and you hear that engine just clicking the way it should, it's an incredible car to drive. I love them. I've owned a couple of them and not been able to keep them well-tuned, so I've had to get rid of a couple. But if you got a good Italian mechanic friend, an Alfa Romeo is a car to own, man. The big car there was the Infiniti Prototype 10, which is, everybody is talking about electrics these days. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk in a minute about the new Ram half-electric hybrid truck. But the Infiniti Prototype 10, an electric racing car. This is becoming a very interesting section of racing. I think within the next 4 or 5 years, you may even see a NASCAR race with all electrics in it. That's how quickly this electric racing car part of the automotive business is coming along. It's really incredible.
And that's fascinating because, NASCAR has tried to make things more environmentally friendly. They switched gasolines. They're trying to do a bunch of different things to make sure that they're more friendly. I can't think of anything that would upset their core fan base, though, more than having an all-electric car race. I think it would be interesting to see how an electric car would do in there, because that's a long race at a high speed, and a lot of grinding on that engine. But, hey, I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'd like to, you know what? I think it would be kind of funny to walk into a racetrack, and you're sitting there watching these cars go around, and there's no noise.
Yeah, no, you don't hear anything. You don't need any earphones because you don't need it.
Remember slot cars?
Yeah.
Yeah, you put them in a boom. Oh, man. You and me are going to go to that race. When they do the electric NASCAR cars, you and I are going to that one.
You know, and it's so funny because the one NASCAR race I've been to, I went down to Fontana one year, and my goodness, when you got 43, I guess they don't do 43 cars anymore, but when you got 43 cars running around that track with those engines going, you need headphones, and it would be such a surreal experience to go down there with electric cars and you just hear this whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah, I think it'd be nuts. It'd be crazy. But it'd be fun. It's a big gum. You know, there's a lot of word going on or a lot of talk going on right now about these electric cars and about what they have to do to them so that people will hear them when they're crossing the street.
Yeah.
In Europe, you have to have, like, noisemakers on, some kind of noise thing on, so that when you're crossing the street, you'll be able to hear it because people are getting run over and hit by these cars because they don't hear them coming down the street.
Hey, you were telling me earlier this morning, earlier today, that somebody decided to go up and take a Crown Victoria and make it into an Edsel, and now you can own it? Why don't you give me some details on what you were talking about there?
Yeah, this is pretty funny. I came across this, you know, I always look for odd cars and different cars at auction. And a guy who is an Edsel fan decided that he would build... or have built for him, actually, back in 2008, which was the 50th anniversary of the Edsel, which many people may remember as one of the biggest jokes in automotive history. Ford built this car back in 1958. It lasted about 4 years. It was the punchline of every automotive joke from 1958 to 1961, when I believe the last Edsel was built. And it was kind of the same size as a Mercury or a full-size Ford. Well, this guy loves the Edsel so much that he went out back in 2008, got a Crown Victoria, spent, I don't know, about $100,000 on this thing to put an Edsel grill. Now, if you've known the Edsel grill, it looks like a car with a big nose.
It's huge.
It's got the grill, the Edsel tail lights. Edsel badging on it, and Edsel interior. Made some changes to the interior, put the emblems in there, the badges in there. So R&M Auctions is going to offer this car without reserve at their auction in Indiana coming up in September. And right now, it looks like you could buy this car for probably, they're talking, between $10,000 and $15,000. But it may not go for that much because I can't think of anyone who would want a 2008 Edsel 50th anniversary tribute except the guy that owns the other one that they built. They actually made two of them.
These cars are not pretty cars.
I don't think it's a pretty car. I mean, the only redeeming value in this car is that it has the 4.6-liter police interceptor engine. So what you could do, I guess, is you could go sit up there on the highway and put a light bar on top of it and just have cops passing you by looking at you going, what in the world is that? It's like an ante to the car.
Well, you know what? There are probably people out there who have very, very fond memories of times in Edsels. They may not necessarily like what the look of the car is, but they probably remember some family time or some friend, or maybe they took their boyfriend or girlfriend out in an Edsel, and while it isn't the prettiest car in the world, that for them it's a little nostalgia.
It was the first car they made out in or something like that, so I guess you know what? You gave me an idea. If we could find a grandma and a grandpa that made out for their first time in an Edsel Corsair back in 1958, we could all chip in and buy this car and give it to them as a present.
There you go. Let's do it.
Now, that's the radio station promotion right there.
Oh, we got a couple minutes left. You were telling me, too, that the 10,000th Freightliner truck was just produced and released to the world. And it was done here in the Northwest?
Yeah, actually, they build the Freightliner down in Oregon. The Freightliner New Cascadia, which is that big thing that looks like an apartment house that's driving by you on the road. And they just, actually, not the 10,000, but the 50,000 Freightliner New Cascadia since production started back in 2017. It, you know, it's really, when you go start to think about American trucks, this is the gold standard. It's you know, people love the Kenworth and all and those trucks, but right now I think there's probably more Freightliners on the road than any other brand. Freightliner and Western Star are made by Mercedes-Benz, actually, but they build them, as I said, in Oregon. And to celebrate that, of course, we go back to electrics. They're developing an all-electric truck, kind of like Tesla has out on the road. But you know what? It says something about the Northwest, and it says something about the kind of people that build these trucks, that you can crank out 50,000 of these in the Northwest, and it really becomes one of the most popular trucks on the road.
Well, I think that's impressive. I'm waiting for the day, though, when they get those self-driving trucks, and they'll be interested to see if that ever really goes anywhere.
Go to the Arizona desert. Tesla is testing them out there already. When you get the self-driving truck, you're going to have to drive to drinking coffee and self-serving truck stops and things like that.
That's the wave of the future. I keep telling anybody, I said, it isn't my generation that's going to get too used to self-driving cars. It may not necessarily be the next generation because it's going to go slow process. But anybody who is going to be born kind of in the next generation, they're going to never know how to drive a car because it's all going to be self-driving cars.
I know it's going to be so weird, you know. I mean, it's going to be. I mean, it really is going to be a different world when it comes to these cars. But if like you were like me when you were a kid and you read Popular Mechanics, you know that this was going to happen.
Well, we never got our flying car, but maybe that's in the not too distant future too.
Oh, do you really want to see that?
New York Vinny, thanks so much for stopping by and chatting us a little bit of cars today.
All right, Kevin, good to talk to you. Take care of yourself.
You too.